The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Gloria America, Mosora High, Canada. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway live on a crisp, cold Wednesday morning. I'm so glad you are with me today. In the next 3 hours, I'll bring up to speed on anything you need to know. I want to begin by thanking all of you who are out there supporting Angel Tree. We had a great day yesterday. I'm within sight of catching my nemesis, Gallagher, because my audience loves kids. Mike's full of Grinch-like people, and they're grudging in their giving. But you folks just flooded the ramparts yesterday. Thank you. And I only see the last five people this morning. Richard M. in West Virginia, Sandra T. in Minnesota, Andrew A. in Maryland, Dana M. in Texas is up early, James D. in California up late last night, I think. Thank you for your $150. Angel Tree takes care of kids at Christmases. And I went around a cold and crisp Christmas decorated Washington, D.C. last night because I went to a book party slash Christmas party. First one I've been to in 2 years. And it's just people are so happy to be out. But there are a lot of kids who aren't happy because mom or dad are in jail. And a lot of you make their Christmas possible. And you're going over to HughHewitt.com and you're saying, I am going to be part of the solution in a very real way. A lot of you, I also think, are the folks who may have gotten out of the habit of going to church. And you finally went to church and you realize that there isn't any patio full of Angel Tree Christmas trees, something you've probably done routinely for 10 or 15 years, like the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I. So gather up your Christmas spirit, make merry by all means, but please, please go over to HughHewitt.com and donate to the Angel Tree banner at the top, whether it's $25 in one child or you want to do 1,000 children and send in $25,000. I don't care. I'm glad that this audience loves kids, and they particularly love kids who are suffering at Christmas. Thank you. Also want to tell you very early on that last night some dope set fire to the Christmas tree in front of Fox News. Big picture. I just think they're happy that de Blasio is almost gone, but it's still not a good idea. No one was hurt. One person was arrested. Thank you, NYPD, New York's finest. Thanks to the men and women in blue across the United States who find an unusual number of knuckleheads running around this time of the year doing stupid things like that. Nobody was hurt because, once again, the men and women in blue stepped up. Thank you. You know who's in trouble? Boris Johnson is in trouble. Why? Let this be a lesson to every elected official. The rules for thee but not for me stuff, that makes people angry. I mentioned in passing yesterday that I'm in a dispute. Many of us are in a dispute with our local homeowners association, and I've been flooded by local people who want me to take the point. I'm not going to take the point in anything, but I'll help us find a lawyer. But nevertheless, you know, rules for thee and not for me are just the perfect way to have a revolution. And Boris Johnson's staff last year, unclear to me if the prime minister participated, apparently held a Christmas party, and they've lied about it for a year. And now tape is coming out to prove it. Well, every member, my kids were in the United Kingdom last year, deployed there. And so they didn't have any Christmas parties. Nobody had any Christmas parties in England last year. It was like the United States. And so people are angry. Tory backbenchers are mad. Nigel Farage, who is, you know, about the Trumpiest Brit out there, he took to GBTV last night and said this, cut 19.
I remember that Saturday evening, sitting at home, press statement with the Prime Minister about Christmas. I can't tell you how angry I was to be told that Christmas is cancelled, and so all my plans had to change. That is as nothing compared to the upset tonight millions are going to feel who had the last chance to have a Christmas with their mother, their father, their grandmother, their grandfather, who are no longer with us. Whilst at the same time, those that were making the rules, spreading fear through government adverts, actually thought it was funny. They thought it was funny. Did you see Allegra Strap?
Yeah.
It was all a big joke. Enormous joke. And not only is this about Boris Johnson, but an arrogant, old Etonian, Oxbridge government that treats us with contempt on everything from Owen Paterson's income to this even bigger issue. You also have to remember that Allegra Stratton is married to a very leading journalist in Westminster. And we understand that journalists attended the club as well. So this isn't just about the political class ignoring us, treating us with contempt, laughing at us, looking down upon us. It's actually about mainstream media as well. And do you know what, Dan? Very often there are stories that will excite you and I, but they are Westminster bubble stories. They're stories that we get very worked up about. Yeah. We live within the village. But Joe Soap says, hey, you know what? I've got more things to worry about. This story cuts through. This story is going to lead to more rage and anger amongst the general British population than we have seen for years. And I'm going to stick my neck out here. This is the beginning of the end of Boris Johnson. He has lied his way out of so many things all through his life. His relationship with the truth, as Keir Starmer rather brilliantly said in the last few minutes, is socially distanced. The truth, it doesn't mean anything to Boris Johnson. But in the end, the compulsive liar gets caught out. And in my opinion, even he can't lie his way out of this one.
Well, now I've got the Cracker Jack team on the West Coast training their cameras on Prime Minister's Question Time, which begins within an hour. Did you hear some of the rage in that? The old Etonian Oxbridge. First of all, that's a class-based thing in England. We don't have that in the United States, thank God. Everyone go to college in the United States if you're smart. They let people like me into Harvard. All right, so you don't have to be born to Eton and Oxbridge to get into it. The political class and the mainstream media. Now, Nigel Farage is not representative of the center-right. He's representative of a hardcore Brexit. But he got Brexit going. No Nigel, no Brexit. And, boy, I cannot tell you how an issue like this cuts through. And Nigel framed it exactly correctly. A lot of people lost moms and dads and brothers and sisters and children over the last year, and they did not celebrate last Christmas because Christmas was canceled. So you cancel Christmas and have a party at number 10. There is one thing for the Prime Minister to do. Abjectly apologize for and fire anyone who lied. He had better hope he did not know about the party. I do not ever approve of the tailhook analogy because that was an overreaction that actually hurt the Navy. But the tailhook kind of reaction could be coming in Great Britain as a result of this. So you heard about it here first on the Hugh Hewitt Show. That's what happens on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Rules for thee and not for me. Oh, politician's worst nightmare. Early data out of Israel shows the Pfizer vaccine is less effective against Omicron. Primarily, it does prevent deadly illness. But it's a very slippery variant. I told you there's a four-square box for variants. Variants of the original or Delta are either more or less transmissible than the Delta, and they are either more or less deadly than the Delta. This appears to be more transmissible and less deadly. We don't need to know more. I'm begging you, go and get vaccinated and go and get your booster. Because, again, trust the Israeli scientists, and they communicate so much better than the American public health officials. The booster appears to help a lot. The booster appears to get your antibodies up. By the way, if you had COVID and you had the vaccination, you're okay. There is a lot of news out of Capitol Hill, most of which will bore you. I will talk about the passage of the National Defense Authorization Act out of the House. That's a good deal. The debt limit's the most dull piece of legislation ever. I'll tell you about that coming up after the break. The most important thing that happened yesterday, Joe Manchin said once again at the Wall Street Journal gathering, look, we need a strategic pause. Kill the Build Back Better bill. I have an editorial over at the Washington Post on the $170 billion in homeless money and housing affordability money. It will be wasted. It will make homelessness worse. Wake up, senators. You own every line of this bill if you pass it. Every single item that comes out of this crazy $1.7 trillion of Nancy Pelosi favorite causes gets attached to your baggage. You will go down if you vote for this. Don't vote for it. I'll be right back. Brought to you by ReliefFactor.com. $19.95 gets you started on ReliefFactor.com. I talk about it three times in my daily show. At the bottom of the first hour when I take it, and then in hours two and three when I remind you to take it, depending on when your commute begins, because ReliefFactor.com works. It's the only supplement I've taken in 30 years of broadcasting. I've declined every other opportunity to take a supplement, and I'll tell you why. Because ReliefFactor.com actually works. I carry in Curcumin and Resveratrol Omega, temporary relief for the relief of minor aches and pains, temporary support for the relief of minor aches and pains, and you can't do better than that three-week starter pack, $19.95. I'm joined now by United States Senator Michael Braun from the great state of Indiana, which is home to a wonderful basketball tradition and not much of a Big Ten football team this year. Senator, welcome. Good to have you.
Good morning, Hugh.
We got a National Defense Authorization Act out of the House last night that makes sure that members of the military who refuse the vaccine mandate aren't get an honorable discharge. Are you happy with that development?
You know, when it comes to the whole navigation through the COVID saga as well as the vaccines, I've been fairly clear up front that we were lucky to have engineered one that quickly. I remember sitting in early with the agencies, Fauci, Redfield back then, and they were kind of wrestling among themselves in terms of who was going to control the dynamic. And that quickly, I got a little more entrepreneurial, I think, when Trump said, we're going to remove it there and we're going to kind of push it on our own. We got it. It's a blessing to have it. We're seeing now that we're over a year and a half into it that it's going to be a feistier foe than probably most of us imagine. It's going to be endemic. And we're going to need a lot of tools to probably get to where we can live with it in some fashion. Eliminating it from the landscape and thinking that vaccines are the only thing out there that can do it has now kind of become just a political topic. And it's moving us into territory that bothers me when you can have these pronouncements coming from the highest levels of government about what you do individually. And, of course, that gets poo-pooed and kind of almost laughed at as being not relevant in this kind of mania that's out there that if you don't follow the guidelines, you're somehow, you know, going against what's best for the community at whole. So that's just emblematic of the journey. One other comment on it. I come from Main Street, ran a business for 37 years prior to coming to the Senate. I've not seen any business that's been lackadaisical, cavalier about trying to keep their employees and customers safe. And I think the other thing you don't hear enough about in the military, in any entity, especially in the business community, there's not transmission occurring at that level. Most of what happens what you're, you know, after you get back from work. So it's been kind of hijacked in a way by the left that is just emblematic of where they're willing to chip away at the liberties that we all appreciate to the point where they come up with something preposterous, like whether it's in the military. All this is falling apart, by the way. The courts are weighing in across the board in the sense that this is a bridge too far. And here we are at this point in time in some places, and I'll leave it right here. Let's look at New York City and the guy heading out the door, the hubris of government to where you do another preemptive strike, as he calls it, with total disregard to how it affects the productive side of the economy and all the things you give up when you buy into that.
You know, I've never seen someone so tall with such a Napoleonic complex as de Blasio.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. It's just crazy. But let's stay focused on the main event. The main event is the mandate on private businesses. It's unconstitutional. There is no authority for it in the OSHA law. Even if Congress attempted to pass it, it would be in excess of its commerce power, I believe, unless you bribe people to do the mandate under the spending power. I start with the first question, is it constitutional? What the president proposed for private businesses is unconstitutional. And the courts are finding that. Do you see your Democratic allies recognizing that the Constitution actually matters in this country?
You know, not really, because I was working the Senate floor last night. We do have two Democrats, Joe Manchin last Thursday and John Tester. Of course, you don't know until you cast that vote. That's going to be later today on the Congressional Review Act, which was of such interest to me because it was the only formal tool, one thing Congress did, for rulings, particularly, that you try to do through agencies. And I don't see them bending. I won't mention names, but spoke to two or three that are so kind of fearful of what the consequences might be, even though they're quite aware, if they've been talking to any of their constituents. Axios polled this thing, and they generally pay attention to it here a month or so ago, and that only 14% of Americans agree with either get the vaccination or lose your job. That kind of ultimatum, they're just kind of disregarding because they bought so much into the political dialogue of vaccines. And it's been also part and parcel of, I think, engineering their political agenda to some extent. So they're having trouble separating common sense, constitutionality, and they pretty well just aren't going to buck it. And that's why I'm disappointed that we'll probably only end up maybe with three or four. But in the House of Representatives, it's a little different structure in terms of what they need to do to discharge it to the floor. Every Republican is on it, and I got to believe there are 25 to 30 swing district representatives that are squirming about being so against what their district is probably interested in how they view it.
Let me explain this briefly to the audience. The Congressional Review Act empowers, by simple majority in both houses, the members of Congress to rule that a regulation that has been properly promulgated may be overturned and forever forbidden to the agency that overturned it. So that the OSHA regulation mandating vaccinations on private businesses could be overturned by simple majorities forever in both houses, no need for the president's signature. And therefore, I don't believe they need a presidential signature. It'll pass next year when the Republicans get the House, Senator. Let me go back a little bit because we went over it too quickly. I want to applaud the scientists and the pharmaceutical companies and President Trump for Operation Warp Speed. We would be in a world of hurt were it not for the vaccines. And I'm vaccinated. I have a booster. I don't believe you're anti-vaccine. I haven't seen you on any of those lists. I don't believe you're anti-booster. What you are is anti-constitution.
There's no doubt about that. And we got to be careful. That creep, that incrementalism, personified by this, is in my mind something we need to fear more than anything, because it is it's sneaky. You can't detect it. This is pretty blatant, so I think it's a good eye opener. This is what you get when you get government that gets completely out of hand. This is what you get.
Senator, let me interrupt you. Have you read the Build Back Better bill yet? I've written three columns in the Washington Post. It's hundreds of pages of creep. It's the craziest bill I've ever seen.
No doubt about it. And sadly, monstrosities like that, the policy that gets shoehorned into something that's supposed to be related to spending, revenue, and debt. The best way for me to kind of describe what we're up against you is I view Democrats, the people that believe in big government, as political entrepreneurs. And I almost hate to use the word because an entrepreneur is someone that takes risk, you know, does it in the private sector. Their big business is the federal government, and they want to grow it with all the lack of recognizing that what have they knocked out of the park by pushing that kind of agenda over the years, other than now we're $30 trillion in debt. And people need to realize that. And it sounds good. You're on a sugar high with all the spending. But that incremental involvement of government in our lives expresses itself in so many ways. And it's on full display. And
you know, Senator, it will destroy religious-based preschool programs. It will destroy serious homeless efforts that require abstinence. It will destroy. It's just an absolute blanket suffocation of the private sector. Does Joe Manchin know this? Has anyone read it? You get the last 45 seconds, Senator.
I think in the case of Joe Manchin, the anachronism of being a Democrat in a place like West Virginia is complicated. My observation of Joe is that he knows where he's at because he's a smart politician, but he generally, I think, will do what he's done in the past. He'll be dictated by what Schumer and Pelosi want to do. We'll get some version of it, and then we need to have the fortitude to undo it as conservatives and Republicans, which we generally are wallflowers, and avoid taking that action as the past reveals of changing stuff that's crazy that gets into law. So,
well, I hope your colleagues realize they're going to have every preschool in the United States mad at them. They will all. Every Democrat who votes for this will have every preschool in the United States mad at them. Senator Mike Braun of Indiana, thank you, Senator. Good to talk to you. Stay tuned, America. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Trent in Hermosa Beach, Bob in Pennsylvania, Pam in Delaware, Jane in Louisiana, all of you. I will get to your calls in just a moment, but I got to check in with my pal, Brian Westbury. Follow him on Twitter, at Westbury. He is with First Trust Portfolio. He is one of the smartest guys on the economy. Brian, I confess, I have never seen a market like this, down 1,000 points, up 100 points, down. It's all over the place. Looks like another huge day on the market today. What is going on?
Well, I you know, there's number one, Omicron, right? Like, so we're worried that we're going to shut down the economy again, and that crushed the market in March of 2020. Second thing is that Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, is now worried about inflation. He wasn't worried about inflation, kept calling it transitory. Then said, you know, I think we need to retire that word. I am basically saying I'm wrong. It's not transitory. I printed too much money. So it's time to stop printing money. And now everybody's worried that all of a sudden he's going to raise rates really rapidly. And then finally everybody decided, well, you know, maybe Omicron isn't that bad. And maybe Powell's just bluffing. And so that's what happens. We just get whipsawed all over the place.
Okay, Brian, I this is the key question. You and I were in Atlanta together with Herschel Walker, and you told people, do not sell your stocks because we got 10 months of growth going. I'm listening to Brian Westbury. I'm not selling any stocks because I think they pumped so much money into this economy that they cannot but go up. Do you stand by that?
Yep, still do. I think you have to divide the you know, we've done unprecedented things. And that word means never.
Never before.
Doesn't mean in a long time. Means never. And so nobody, I'm cutting my legs out from under me right now, but how do you forecast in unprecedented times? And I would argue the way that I've dealt with it is the next 10, 12 months, and then after that. All right. So at first, when you flood the economy with new money, the first thing that happens is everything goes up. The second thing that happens is everything goes to heck. So we're in the first part of that, right? So everything's going up. We're in a flood, and it hasn't, and the mold hasn't set in yet.
Yeah, all the boats are rising. And now the tide's going to go out, right?
Right, exactly. And that's when we crash into the beach. You know, inflation is not good for the markets. But and one of the things that's interesting is that in the 70s, we did sort of the same. We did the same thing. There are some differences. But we it took a lot longer for the inflation to show up. One of the great things about the internet and technology is everything moves faster. So Joe Biden's policy mistakes, Jerome Powell's policy mistakes, are showing up as inflation much more quickly than they did in the 70s. But that doesn't mean that assets won't go up on this wave of new money.
Not on this scale. Brian, I have to get back to the breaking news. I appreciate your calling. A Merry Christmas to you. Maybe we'll talk next week. Follow him on Twitter at Westbury, W-E-S-B-U-R-Y, and at First Trust Portfolio. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. If you're buying gold, do it from Birch Gold. You can find Birch Gold at HughGold.com. I'm glad that they're sponsoring the podcast, but more importantly, I'm glad you're looking and making sure that your investment portfolio is diversified. Wealth is made in concentration and preserved in diversification, and you should diversify a part of your portfolio, 5 to 10% in gold. You can do that by rolling over a portion of your IRA or 401k into a gold and silver and other precious metals depository maintained by Birch Gold, or you can just buy gold and put it in your safety deposit box. Either way, do it from Birch Gold, which you can find at HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's HughGold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Now enjoy this podcast. Bonjour, hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway Live. I have a special guest at the bottom of the hour. I got a special guest right now, Congressman Jim Jordan of the great state of Ohio. He's in mourning like I am over the Ohio State Buckeyes' loss to that university up north. Congressman, you recovered yet? The Rose Bowl's a pretty good consolation prize.
It sure is. What is it, the last 8 years, or I forget how many years? So, you know, maybe Michigan was due one.
But yeah, every 10 years.
We still would like to win. Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Like this.
We'll take that going forward, right?
Their fans are like cicadas. They show up in my timeline and make a lot of noise every 15 years. Congressman, you have a new book out, Do What You Said You Would Do, Fighting for Freedom in the Swamp. This is so timely. I don't know if you've seen the headlines this morning. Boris Johnson is getting flayed in the House of Commons because tape emerged that he lied, or his staff lied, about having a party during lockdown last year. Nigel Farage is coming. This is what you're talking about, isn't it? Do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah. When you put your name on the ballot and you run for office, if the voters elect you, you should probably go do what they elected you to do. And I always point out, I don't think anyone, and I write about this a lot in the book, I don't think anyone did that better than President Trump, because, you know, he said he cut taxes. He did. He said he'd reduce regulations. He did. He said he'd put the embassy in Jerusalem. He did. He said he'd get out of the Iran deal. He did. He said he'd put conservatives on the court. He did. He said he'd build the wall. You know, you could keep going. So that's how you're supposed to govern. But unfortunately, all too often, people get here and come up with a million reasons why they can't do what they said they were going to do. And then when that also happens, this is really scary to me. When that happens and you don't come here and fight for the things you said you would, I think it just further empowers the bureaucracy, and none of those individuals ever put their name on a ballot, but yet they seem to want to run the country all the time. And so, that's
what, yeah, Congressman, I have been going
enjoy it.
Page by page through the Build Back Better bill that passed the House, and I've written three columns in the House, one in the Washington Post, one of them is in the Post this morning. It's a nightmare of the administrative state. They're going to spend $3 billion on tree equity, $200 million on Nancy Pelosi's personal park, the Presidio, $170 billion on the homeless. I have a heart for the homeless, but this is wasted. This is terrible. It will make it worse.
Yep.
Did anyone read this nightmare?
No one's read it. And you're right. It's not just the dollar amount, which is obnoxious enough. It's the stupid policies in there, all the Green New Deal policies, all the tax increases. That's what's going to further harm our economy already. Economy that's what we're at a 31-year high in inflation. This has got a bunch of baloney in it. The American people understand that. But unfortunately, the Democrat Party is just committed to continuing their left-wing march towards communism. And it's why we got to stop them. We got to speak out against it. And that's why I so appreciate what you do, the pieces you write and the things you tell your listeners. But we just got to keep it up. And I think things are changing. You know, Virginia was a great sign.
Yes, it was.
What we saw there, I think we're going to see the same thing happen in 11 months for Congress and the United States Senate. And then we'll be able to hold them off. And then you build for the 2024 presidential election. That's how American politics works. But we got to make sure we take the case to the American people. And they're ready to stand up. And courage is contagious. And when some moms and dads start to stand up in Virginia, the next thing you know, Glenn Youngkin's going to be the next governor. And that's how it works.
Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes is along with you, one of the fighters. And I was stunned when he retired or announced his retirement. Yeah. Were you?
Yes, I was. I mean, I talked with Devin the night that it came out two nights ago. And I texted him. I said, say it isn't so, because you hate to lose someone like that who's been here fighting the bureaucracy, fighting the folks who were using the law to spy on the American people and spy on Trump, President Trump's campaign. So, but, you know, Devin is committed to also making sure conservatives don't get censored and don't get attacked on these big social media platforms and creating some alternatives. So God bless him. But I wish he wasn't leaving. I really do, because he's done such a great job. But that's between him and his good his family and the good Lord. And this is where he wants to go. So God bless him.
Do we have any more surprise announcements? I mean, Democrats are falling like flies. They're running because they look at those numbers in the Wall Street Journal today. They're upside down on the generic. They're upside down on the president. He's at 41% approval, 57% disapproval. Are more of them like getting their hats and coats out of the cloakroom and heading for the door?
It's not going to surprise me. I think we're up to like what, 18, 19 or something,
right?
That have announced. It wouldn't surprise me if there are more. And now, look, we can't get overconfident, and I don't think we're going to. We got to stay focused on taking the message to the American people. But I do feel good about where we're headed. I don't know that I've ever seen approval ratings this bad.
Right.
But then again, you step back and you look at everything they've done, and you're like, well, they haven't done anything right. You know, the border's a mess. The inflation rate is unbelievable. We used to be energy independent. Now we've got the president begging OPEC to increase production. At the same time, he's telling American companies to reduce production. Makes absolutely no sense. And, of course, we see what's happening in foreign policy. After the Afghanistan exit debacle, we look at what's happening on the border of Ukraine. We look at what China's doing relative to Taiwan, and it is frightening. And it's because when you project weakness from the Oval Office, bad people around the planet start to do bad things. That's what I think we're beginning to see, and it's unfortunate.
So I think we're going to win. I'm a Republican. I'm the most transparent person in media. I'm a Republican. I think we're going to win. Will Kevin McCarthy be the speaker?
Yep, he sure will. You know, we're going to have to focus on, I think, a lot of oversight, because, again, we're not going to be able to pass anything. I mean, we should pass things out of the House to show the American people what we'll do if we have complete control of government when President Trump runs and wins again, or whoever our nominee is. But I think it's going to be President Trump, and that's who I'm for. So we have to do that. But I think we also have to do oversight. And you know, this, we have to figure out the whole Fauci gain of function, China, that whole issue. We have to figure out what's really going on at the FBI, this idea that they're now targeting parents. How did thousands of Americans' tax returns become public? But that's not supposed to happen in this great country. That's certainly something that needs oversight. So I think that's a real area we need to focus on as Republicans, if in fact we're in control.
If you're in the majority, which committee do you expect to chair, Congressman Jordan?
Lord willing, I'll chair Judiciary Committee, which is exactly what I want to do. All the bad policies the Democrats have done, nothing is as dangerous as what they're doing to the First Amendment. And historically, the House Judiciary Committee has been the committee that protects your rights, protects the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and most importantly, the liberties we all enjoy under the First Amendment. So what they have done to that over the last year is just scary, particularly your right to speak and not be called a racist and then have the mob try to cancel you. So that's where I really want to focus, because that's where I think.
Does judiciary have authority over big tech?
Yeah, we have some, but also energy and commerce. But we will be working in that space, particularly Section 230. That's step one. Now, again, I don't think Joe Biden will sign it because they like big tech censoring conservatives and throttling back our speech. But that liability protection has to go away. And then we also have to look at some antitrust concerns and, frankly, speeding things up so we can get decisions to the Supreme Court, get cases to the Supreme Court for a decision in a timely fashion when it comes to antitrust. It shouldn't take 20 years to figure this out. And Justice Thomas has sort of indicated he wants to deal with this. So that's one of the pieces of legislation we're also looking at in that big tech area.
You know, Congressman, one of the things I would love for you to consider is that we need transparency into their decision making. And I think that means access to their board meetings and their officers meetings, because the national security implications of what they do and what they sell to China are staggering. We need someone in those rooms.
Yeah, no kidding. And you look at how big tech and big media colluded a little over a year ago in the run-up to the presidential election, where they decided they were going to keep important information from the American people, specifically regarding the Hunter Biden story. I mean, we had an eyewitness, Tony Bobulinski. We had physical documents, emails that talked about the big guy. We had the laptop. We had the fact the FBI was investigating. And yet 50 former Intel people come forward and say, oh, no, this is Russian disinformation. Like, this is crazy. And big tech played right along with it to just keep the American people in the dark, colluding with big media and the Democrat Party. I mean, this is scary. And it's become the template for Democrats. It's how they operated with the whole Russia hoax when they went after President Trump. So you're right. We gotta make sure we expose this and pass the legislation that we can to stop it.
All right, a couple of quick political exit questions, Congressman. I just moderated a panel of six Republicans who want to be the senator to replace Rob Portman. There are six great candidates in Ohio.
Yep,
have you endorsed? Will you endorse?
I haven't. I haven't decided what we'll do, but I haven't. I've been over the years close with Josh Mandel. But I know the others as well, and they're all good people. And the main thing is, we got to have a Republican, for goodness sake. And now with what President Trump's done in Ohio, it is our state is, I think, such a strong Republican state. So that's the main thing. We just got to figure out who's the best one to make sure that it's a Republican and not Tim Ryan.
You know, we had a great debate, and that leads me to my last question. Ted Cruz yesterday announced the Cruz Doctrine. No more Republican primary debates that are moderated by anyone who's not going to vote in a Republican primary. Do you agree or disagree with the Cruz Doctrine?
I think it's a great idea, and that's why you'll keep moderating, because you do a great job.
All right, I'm going to Minnesota next week. I'll go. Half airplane will travel. Jim Jordan, congratulations on the publication of Do What You Said You Would Do. That's like a rule for life. Do what you said you would do. Jim Jordan, have a Merry Christmas. I'll be right back, America. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.